That was a short pit stop because I had to go to the washroom real quickly. And I didn't know I was up next, so I'm glad I got back before. I almost didn't get here again today. My wife, for the last four mornings, has been working. She works for my daughter, and my daughter has a wedding company. So my wife styles hair and makeup. And the last four mornings, the last three mornings, she took our car. I took my motorbike to work. And so I never thought about the keys to the car. And now today, she knew I was always coming here. So she took another vehicle, my daughter's vehicle, and left me the car. So she left early today, and I had my alarm set. But did you ever, in your sleeping, wake up with a panic? I thought, keys. Where are the keys, my keys, to the car? I got up in that state and I looked everywhere for the keys. I couldn't find them. So I called my wife, said, "You have the keys to the car. I can't get here today." And she said, "Oh no." So she looked in her purse, no keys there. She said, "There gotta be in one of my 100 purses I have home." Ladies, why do you have so many purses? So I went into her purses and no keys. She called me back. I said, "Honey, I can't find the keys." She said, "I don't have them." So I'm thinking, where's the keys? Where are the keys? So the other day when I come home from my motorbike, I had the keys in my pocket of my pants. But I did some work for my son-in-law. He's putting the fence in. And I forgot that I put my pants in the dirty wash. My keys were there. So anyway, to make a long story short, I'm glad I'm here. One of you would have to share today. It's always good to be with you today. Thank you for trusting me, leaders, and Pastor Mitch for these opportunities to come. I see you not as as strangers anymore. I see you as friends, and I hope you see us as friends as well. Today, I want to share with you some thoughts. We're not going to be looking at one scripture because there's many scriptures that I want to take you to, because the theme of hope is all through the scriptures. If you know the Bible at all, you can go to some passages even now in your mind that talk about hope, great hope. So I want to start this way today. What are you hoping in? What is your hope? Who is your hope? Let that sink in today. Now, folks, you and I know that we're living in days that are quite difficult. We turn on the news, the radio station, or whatever device you have, and we hear all kinds of negative things about what's going on in the world. And to be frank, if we listen too much, it can really begin to play havoc in our hearts and minds. I think you agree. So we need to be careful what we listen to and watch, based on what's going on in the world. And let me tell you, it's not good, and you know that. But still, in the midst of some very tragic and shifts in our world, there is still great hope for you and for me and the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to read this passage for you. I think I read it here before and I shared a message. I have a different message, but the same passages. And so in Psalm 42, if you take your Bibles, I want to read the first number of verses for you. In Psalm 42, it's a very familiar psalm. I hope it is to you. It can bring so much comfort to our hearts, because every one of us here have had hard times. Every one of us here has had difficult times in our lives, and maybe you're going through that again right now. Forget about what's going on in the world. Let's narrow it down to you. Like King David, maybe you're going through some very hard circumstances. And David is writing here in Psalm 42 because he has been on the run. King Solomon wants to kill him because there's jealousy there. And it says in verse 1 of Psalm 42, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Can you just get that? Stay there for a minute. He said, day and night, they're mocking me. They're saying, you believed in God, but where is he now? You're running away, David. You're in a situation, and where is your God? Why isn't he delivering you? Why are you running, David? Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. In the midst of his crisis, they're mocking him. Where's your God, David? But he says, I'll tell you what. What gives me great comfort is I remember when I was able to go into the place with the people of God and worship him. I remember how good that was. I remember that it's a place that I want to be again. It's a place where I can meet with God and the people of God. And then he says this in verse 5. Why are you downcast? Have you ever talked to yourself? I do all the time. I look in the mirror and I, bad boy, whatever. And he's like looking in the mirror and he's saying to himself, David, why are you downcast? Oh, my soul, why do I feel so down? Why do I not see a future ahead of me? Why am I so, in terror of what's taking place? Why so disturbed within me? Now, I'll be honest with you. I think I will be downcast and disturbed in me within me if I had somebody that had if I had a target on my life. If someone is in our community that wanted to kill me or hurt me, there will be some downcast. And there will be some disturbance within my soul. But he asked the question, why? Why do I feel this way? Can I just stop here? Sometimes we feel these ways. You're still human. And even though you have trusted in God, there are times in your life and my life where I don't feel that God is near. I don't feel that I'm protected. But the good thing is that we don't have to feel to believe. We trust. In the God who said, I will be always with you. I will never forsake you, and I never will leave you. See, the promises of God are wrapped up in hope. And David is here saying, you know, I'm struggling. I really am. And I'm feeling this way. But look what he says in the next line. He's still talking to himself. What did he say? Put your, what's the word? Hope. Put your, again together, your, one more time, put your, oh, your hope. You know what hope is? Hope is not hope so. Hope is an assurance. It is in a certainty. And David here is saying, I have a great hope. I have a great assurance. I have a great certainty. He said, is in God himself. So my friends, today you can look at the world and you can look at your circumstance and we can see that that is bad and maybe I don't see a future, but we need to be reminded that we need to put our hope, the idea there is rolling onto hope in God. So the question I have that I started with, what is your hope today? Who is your hope? I've come to realize that really there are three types of hope. Three types of hope. There is no hope. There is false hope. And there is true hope. No hope, false hope, true hope. I want to take you in a minute to some verses, but you know what? I think you know a little bit about my story. I'm not going to share it all today with you again. But in my story, 5 years ago, no, 6 years ago now, I was at the lowest point in my life. I wanted to die by suicide. I thought if this is my new normal in my mind and heart. You see, I struggled based on a medical crisis in my life, which magnified my mental illness to the point where I saw no hope anymore. And I was living in the no hope zone. I was downcast, just like David talked about. I was disturbed in my mind. My thoughts were so erratic. My crisis was so devastating that I thought the only way to get out of this torment that I was in was to take my life. Praise God, I had people in my life that helped me. And praise God, God never forsook me. He found a way for me to get the help I needed. And he will find a way for you. But I lived for many months in the state of no hope. And it's not a good place to be. Because I couldn't see even the present. I couldn't see a future. And if you're here today and you say, that's me, I feel no hope today. You don't see anything going right today, or you don't see anything going right in the future, and you'll have maybe no hope because you lost hope. I'm here to tell you that you can find hope again. Susan, I don't know if I shared this with you, But it's a story worth repeating. When I was in a mental health hospital, I met a lady called Susan. And Susan was in a worse state than I was. I struggled for only a few years, but she struggled for over a number of decades with thoughts of suicide, with thoughts of feeling inadequate, thoughts of feeling like a failure, thoughts of no hope in her life. And we became good friends for 10 days in this hospital ward in St. Catharines. And we walked all the time. You see, in this hospital, we were locked in. We couldn't get out because we were there because we had said that we wanted to hurt ourselves and or die by suicide. And so they kept a close eye on us. But Susan and I became friends, and we walked. I lost a lot of weight. I should go back to the hospital. I need to lose some weight just by walking. So I got to know Susan, and she began to ask me questions about me. And she knew I was a pastor, and I had Jesus in my life. She knew all of these things, and she began to tell me her story. And she said to me one day in our walk that she was an atheist. And so we talked about that, and she told me why she was an atheist, that she didn't believe God. But I kept talking to her about Jesus. I kept sharing with her that God is good and that He has a plan for her. And so one day on our walk, she said to me, she stopped me and said this. She said, Alan, I wish I could believe in God. And I thought, this is my moment here. She's going to bow her head and pray this prayer, and I'm going to baptize her in the hospital room tank, and there'll be great victory. But there wasn't. She said something to me that I never will forget. I said, why, Susan? She said, I wish I could believe God. I said, why? She says this, because people who believe in God have great hope. Hope. Assurance. Certainty. Because I told her if I did die by suicide, I know where I would have been. I would have been with Jesus. 3 weeks later, Sue took her life. And as far as I know, she died an atheist with hope. It's a bad place to be when you have no hope or you lost your hope. But David says to us by his Spirit today, put your hope in God. What do you hope for? What is your hope? Who is your hope today? No hope, false hope. There's false hope. And I will get to some other scripture. Believe me, I have them. But I want you to hear this false hope. We have people in our world, and maybe you're here today, and you have false hope because you're putting your hope in things that are temporary, that will fall away. Everything on this planet will be taken away. People put their hope in money. People put their hope in popularity. People put their hope in their jobs. People put their hope in things that are fleeting, things that are going to pass away. And maybe today your hope, your assurance, your certainty is in things that are not certain. False hope. The only true hope is found in Jesus Christ. And if you're losing hope today, you have yourself in false hope today, I really hope that you will look today to true hope. The hope, the assurance that Jesus Christ can give. Let me read this quote for you. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Only God can give you that kind of hope. Hope is the one thing that can help us get through the darkest of times. Once you choose hope, anything's possible. What I am trying to cultivate is not blind optimism, but radical hope. I'm an optimist. I see the glass half full, not half empty. But when, even as an optimist, when you go through darkest times, there's no glass. There's no water. There's nothing. Just dark. Come to with me to Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah chapter 29. We know this verse. We should know this verse. We should know this verse very well. And you know, I'm going to say verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And God is saying through the prophet Jeremiah to the people of God. And by the way, I know he's talking to the Jewish nation here, but now in faith in Jesus Christ, there is no barrier, there's no wall. We are the people of God today. Listen to this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Isn't that good? He knows the plans. He has plans for you. But he says, plans to prosper you, and not talking about prosperous gospel preaching. But God says, I have plans for you that will benefit you in your life. You are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you, what's the word? Hope and a future. See, hope is not just for today, but hope is also for future. I can't see what God is going to do, but I'm going to hang on because I know that I can trust God. His plans, he wants me to prosper. He doesn't want to hurt me. He wants to lead me in the path. And as we learn in Psalm 23, in the path of righteousness for his what? His name's sake. Plans to give you hope and a future. Maybe you don't see a future today. Maybe you lost hope. Maybe you have no hope. Maybe you have false hope. I'm here to ask you to consider true hope today, true assurance, true certainty, because God has a plan for you. It might not be a, for you, it might be a very difficult plan, but it's a plan. And it's your responsibility to take whatever comes your way and use it for God's glory and your good. That's Romans 8, 28 and 29. You see, I have this tattoo on my arm, and many of you maybe have asked me what the tattoo. If you're offended, I'm sorry, but I don't see anything that's wrong with the tattoo. You're not smiling. But it says this. It says, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. When I begin to lose hope, it reminds me that God has a plan. and a plan to prosper me and not to hurt me, a plan to give me hope for now and the future. Go to Romans 15, verse 4, please. How we doing, okay? You want to hear a joke? I don't have one, I'm sorry. Romans 15, verse 4. What a great New Testament verse to complement Jeremiah 29:9. Look at verse 4, it says this. 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Hey, the Old Testament is there for your good. It's there to teach you. And then he goes on to say this, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have, what's the word? Certainty, assurance. Come with me to Psalm 147, please. Psalm 147. And look at verse 11. It says this, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who reverence him, who know their place in this relationship with God, who also know their position with God in Jesus. For the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their, what's the word? Hope, assurance, certainty in his unfailing love. You know why it says unfailing love? To remind us that our love can be failing. You hurt me. I'm not going to love you anymore. You lied to me. I'm not going to love you anymore. Jesus will never turn his back on you. His love is unfailing. His love is constant. His love is eternal. Isn't that great? That's good news. And one more. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Proverbs. Just want to make sure you're listening. Proverbs 23, verse 18. It says this. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Amen? I'm going to close. Hope is found in the promises of God, number one. I said a couple of them when I began today. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going away, Jesus said, but I will come back. But I want you to know this. Where I go, I'm preparing a place for you. And the way you know. In verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. I have a place for you. If you confess your sins and this is my words, I promise, dear child of God, Jesus says, I will forgive your sins. Promises. I will provide for you even in the dark places. I will protect you even in the places where you're scared. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I love the little poem about Jesus and the guys walking on the sand. I forget what's called. Footsteps. He said, God, where are you? He looks back, sees one set of footprints. He thinks they're his. But then Jesus comes and says, ah, dear child, when you went through the hardships, I'm paraphrasing, I was holding you. I carry you. I walk with you. I never left you. You see, Jesus is that good. And you can have the certainty today and the hope today and the assurance today. Even though you might not feel his presence in your life, he's still there. That's why we live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus says, I'm here. And he promises to walk with us. I love the hymn. I come to the garden alone. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. You sing with me. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And lastly, we not hope is found in the promises of God, in the presence of God, and in the very person of Jesus. Can you just say his name? Say it with me. Jesus. One more time. Jesus. There's something about the name. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The one who came for you and died for your sin. The one who came and conquered death. The one who came not just died, but he rose again so that we can live again. Jesus, the great high priest. Jesus, your brother. Jesus, our Lord, Master, Creator. He's gracious, he's loving, he's just. He's love, he's peace. But Jesus also is hope. You want to put your certainty into someone? But in ancient Jesus, for he is the author and finisher of our faith. If you don't know him today, will you open your heart to Jesus? He won't promise you a rose garden, but he'll promise to walk with you by faith. He'll promise to give you the abundant life that you look for. You see, the abundant life is this. It's all over the place, but the one that is always level is who? Say his name. Jesus. Amen.